Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 66. Today's date, July 3rd. Happy early 4th, or when you probably, by the time you listen to it, happy 4th of July from myself, Matty George, and the rest of the Sports Grid family. On today's podcast, I figured with free agency just tipping off a couple of days ago and a lot of movement, I figured today would be a great day to kind of reset the market. So for today, I'm going to give you my winners based off of right now for each of the divisions in the NBA. We will go through my pick for Rookie of the Year, my pick for MVP, my pick to come out of the East, my pick to come out of the West, and to win the NBA title. Let's get started with the Atlantic Division with the Boston Celtics, the overwhelming favorite at minus 180. Sixers at plus 360. Knicks are plus 380. Toronto and Brooklyn are way, way back. And my pick here is I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics, folks. I know what the Philadelphia 76ers have done, bringing in PG-13. You know, obviously getting Andre Drummond, Eric Gordon. They're in the market for, obviously, new talent. And then, obviously, as a Knicks fan, I could tell you how big it was to get OG back in the fold, but also getting Mikal Bridges. But they lost Isaiah Hartenstein. But it doesn't matter to me, even if they had Isaiah Hartenstein. The best team in the Atlantic Division is the Boston Celtics. Why, you ask? Well, you could argue that they have the best overall starting lineup. When you look at Jason Tatum as a top 10 player in the NBA, when you look at the performance of Jaylen Brown, specifically in the Eastern Conference Finals and in the NBA Finals winning MVP, the fact that they re-signed Derek White, the fact that Al Horford is still in the fold, the fact that Peyton Pritchard is still there, Sam Hauser, you know, gets re-signed. Luke Kornet gets re-signed. Xavier Tillman gets re-signed. And then obviously drafting a player like Baylor Shireman, the Celtics look like they are prime and loaded to make another run to an NBA title. And because of that, and the fact that they have the best offense in the league, arguably the best defense in the league, the most depth in the league, and Joe Mazzulla has improved as a coach so much, right now, I am going chalk, and I'm going to say that the Boston Celtics right now at minus 180 is my pick to win the Atlantic Division. I think it will be a good race between second and third, between New York and Philadelphia. It'll basically come down to injuries. If obviously Boston has significant injuries, we know that Porzingis is going to be out to start the season, probably the first two or so months. Let's see what happens here. But I still think Boston is an overwhelming favorite to win the Atlantic Division. Let's move on to the Central, where the Milwaukee Bucks, off a disappointing season, are the favorites at minus 186. Cleveland at 3.5-1. Indiana, 4-1. Chicago, 100-1. And Detroit, they should be in the G League. Simply put, what does Milwaukee do for an encore? This was the Milwaukee Bucks team that didn't play well last year. They fired Adrian Griffin off to a 30-11 start. Doc Rivers came in, and they never seemed to get their groove. You can look at the injuries to, obviously, to Giannis, to Dame in the playoffs, Chris Middleton not being healthy. Is this a team that's capable of winning the division? I think so, because I think you have a motivated Giannis. I think you have a motivated Dame time. And to me, those two should be enough to carry this team. Now, Cleveland is going to be interesting, folks, because of the fact of what they do now that they have Kenny Atkinson as the head coach, and obviously they've re-signed Spider. It's all about what they do. If they make the right moves, I could change my bet here with Cleveland being the winner of the Central Division, because I do think Kenny Atkinson is going to be an upgrade over J.B. Bickerstaff. But for right now, based off of who's in the building for all those teams and the revenge factor of, I think, Milwaukee, and a motivated factor, I would think we will get out of Milwaukee. I do think that the Milwaukee Bucks are my pick right now, minus 186, to win the Central Division. Let's move on to an intriguing division in the Southeast. Right now, the Orlando Magic, minus 115. Miami Heat, plus 120. Atlanta, 11-1. Charlotte, 150-1. And Washington, they are a long ways away. So when you talk about this division, this is when it gets a little bit tricky, right? Obviously, Atlanta trades DeJounte Murray, but they didn't bring a whole back in return. Let's see what they do here. I still think there could be another trade here, possibly, of DeAndre Hunter. Miami is so intriguing, folks, because you always bet on, like, the Heat way, the Heat culture, Heat this, Heat that. Well, they're getting a little bit older. Obviously, Bam resigned. Jimmy Butler doesn't want to sign an extension, right? Caleb Martin's leaving a free agency. They're always dangling Tyler Hero. They brought back Kevin Love. You know, I know they got the kid Ware out of Indiana who's going to be intriguing because everybody, you know, and Pell Larson from Arizona, because everybody that he get in the draft seemed to turn to gold. Look at Jaime Jaquez last year. But to me, I think there's value here in Orlando at minus 115. Simply put, they're one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. What were they missing? Three-point shooting. And you go get KCP from Denver in a three-year, $66 million deal. A KCP that's a 40% shooter from three. A KCP that plays rugged defense. Think about this, folks. Jalen Suggs and KCP could be one of the best 1-2 guard defender combinations in the league. They're going to put you in pain. If KCP can hit enough shots, I think he will. If they could stay healthy like Wendell Carter Jr. and Jonathan Isaac, if Suggs continues to take the next step, if Banchero gets better, if Wagner gets better, Mo just came back. I think there's value right now at minus 115 for Orlando to win the Southeast Division, folks, because I think that we are overestimating Miami. It's hard for me to go against this young Orlando team. They play really hard. They play great defense. And they've gotten a little bit of playoff experience in them. They have secret depth. And like I said, if they could solve their three-point shooting, I think that they are going to win the Southeast Division. Let's head west to the Northwest Division, where the favorites are a team from the South. That's right. Oklahoma City Thunder are still in the Northwest Division, probably because they probably came from Seattle and they just never really moved them out of that area. OKC, plus 155. Denver Nuggets, plus 160. Minnesota, plus 230. And then obviously Utah and Portland. See you later. This is the most tightly wound division in the NBA because you have three teams here that you could argue are three of the four best teams in the Western Conference. Some may believe that the three of the best teams in the Western Conference are all in the same division, and it's going to be a dogfight here. I'm going to go with Oklahoma City at plus 155. You're thinking, coach, is going chalk every division. I promise you my chalk will stop after this. Oklahoma City, folks, Mark Dagnall's done a great job elevating this young team. When you look at SGA and his improvement of what he was able to do, you look at Williams in the backcourt. You look at the emergence of Chet Holmgren last year as a three-point stretch four, shot blocker, rim protector, grab the rebound and lead the break. Think about Lu Dort being one of the best defenders in the league. You look at them bringing back Wiggins for the bench. You look at them bringing Isaiah Joe back for the bench. When you looked at OKC, if you thought about two things that they needed, one was another guard that could stop the ball, that could shoot the ball off the bench, and rebounding. And OKC did both of those. One in the trade, one in free agency. The trade for Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey was a shrewd move by Sam Presti. I feel like Josh Giddey had lost his confidence. I feel like Josh Giddey can't shoot. You saw Jason Kidd basically dare Mark Dagnall to play him in the playoffs, and Dagnall really couldn't use him much. So getting him out of the building was good, and bringing in a guy like Alex Caruso, who can shoot at 40% from three, who is a rugged defender, who is an adult and veteran in the room, a guy that's got the respect around the league of just being a hard-nosed, tough guy. He is, Caruso's like a TJ McConnell. Like, you hate him when you play against him, but you love him when you have on that team. And I think that is what they need. And for rebounding, they went and got Isaiah Hartenstein from the Knicks. 3 years, $87 million. For a guy that showed once Mitchell Robinson got hurt, was really proven to be one of the better big men in the league. He's got the little lefty push shot in the lane. He rebounds with reckless abandonment on the offensive defensive boards. He does a good job of playing drop coverage and ball screens. And he's a shot blocker and a rim protector. It allows Oklahoma City to be to show more depth and an ability for them to really beat you down and I would dare say in a lot of different ways. It's very intriguing this roster is going to have. And I've even talking about the other Jalen Williams. I've been talking about Cason Wallace, right? They could go 9 or 10 deep and really beat you down defensively, but push the pace offensively. Getting Caruso and getting Hartenstein is the reasons why I feel like, and they've moved to the favorites because of that, why OKC at plus 155 is my favorite to win the Northwest Division. Let's move on to the Pacific, where this is another division. This is actually, if you think about all five teams, this is the division that's the closest. Phoenix, 2-1. Lakers, plus 370. Clippers, plus 380. Golden State, $4.50. And Sacramento Kings at 5-1. Yeah, you saw it right. I'm taking Sacramento at 5-1. First things first, look at this division last year. There was a difference between five games between first place Clippers and last place Kings. I want people to understand something. The reason why I'm taking Sacramento is you can look at every other team in this division and see an older team and a team that got injuries. Phoenix, can the big three play together enough games? Bradley Beal gets hurt every year. Durant's getting up there in age. Let's see how happy he is to go back there. Devin Booker is, you know, I would say the best player on the team. They're trying to address their depth. Will they have enough depth? It proved to not be so in the playoffs. The Lakers, they're banking on AD and LeBron to have similar seasons in regards to no health issues. Says a lot for an Anthony Davis that gets hurt a lot. Says a lot for a 40-year-old LeBron James. But if Dalton Connect doesn't shoot the ball well enough like they need him to, if Austin Reeves doesn't continue to progress the way they need him to, if Rui Hachimura doesn't play like the way he played in the 2022 playoffs, if some of these other guys don't do what they need to do, I don't think the Lakers are the second-best team in this division. Let's go to the Clippers, a team that let Paul George walk out the door for 1 year. But then they turn around and they gave James Harden 2 for $70. Now, they got Derrick Jones Jr. Could help them a little bit, 3-and-D guy. Obviously, you have Norm Powell, Russ off the bench. Batum makes his way back to the Clippers. P.J. Tucker opted in. Kevin Porter Jr., interesting pickup. Chris Dunn, interesting pickup. Guys are depth guys. But I'm banking on James Harden to continue to play well at his older age. I'm banking on Terrence Mann to take a step up offensively. I'm talking about Derrick Jones and sometimes being the number three scorer. Kawhi staying healthy. Russ not getting old. Nick Batum still being able to play at a high level. P.J. Tucker giving you something. See where I'm going here? It's a lot of question marks for the Clippers team. A team that I thought could have brought back Paul George and then filled around the roster, and it could have been better. Let's move on to the Warriors. Because of the fact it was intriguing what they did and letting Clay go. I think they needed to break up. I think it was needed. But when you look at this team, yes, they brought in Shlomo Anderson, right? They're making moves. They're trying to make themselves better. But I don't. I just get concerned about Draymond's age and his capacity to not get himself in trouble. You wonder when Steph's going to start to break down. They want to get rid of Andrew Wiggins because he's out of shape. They won't even let him play in the Olympics because they're trying to get rid of him. I love Shlomo Anderson, but I don't know if he's a good complementary piece. I think Kuminga's going to be really, really good. But to me, I feel like this is the end of an era. So I'm going to go all the way to the bottom of the board, and I'm going to take Sacramento. Why? Number one, they're the youngest team. Number two, I thought they were playing really well until the end of the season. Well, Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter went down with injuries. Now, Kevin Huerter could get moved on from. But I love De'Aaron Fox. I think he's a top 20 player in the league. Harrison Barnes continues to play at a high level. Keegan Murray at times took the next step. Domantas Sabonis is an absolute double-double machine. I just think when you look at this team with Mike Brown, and it's settled and he got his extension, I just like what I see out of this team. And at some point, you got to try and, you know, take a swing on a team. But when you have a Malik Monk, the reigning sixth man of the year, when you have Domantas Sabonis as a double-double machine, when you have De'Aaron Fox, who can close games as good as anyone, you get a Mike Brown, and finally, after a couple of jobs, is starting to get it right. To me, I like this. They got Jalen McDaniels, who could help them with defensively. Davion Mitchell just wasn't doing it for them. I think at 5-1, this is going to be a close race. I'm betting on Sacramento because I think they're going to be the healthiest of the group. And because they're the healthiest of the group, I'm willing to take them a 5-1. Because something tells me that the Lakers aren't going to be as good as people think. Neither will the Clippers. I think Phoenix is going to implode. And I just don't believe in Golden State anymore. So give me the Kings at 5-1. Last division. Another division that is going to be sneaky good. Dallas is the favorite at plus 120. Memphis off a 27-55 year, 2.5-1. Pelicans, 3-1. Rockets, 10-1. Spurs, 35-1. I literally flipped the coin like 5,000 times picking this division. Because you can make a case for any one of the top three. I think getting Klay Thompson is what Klay needed, and it's what Dallas needed. Dallas lost the NBA Finals because they got outshot at the three-point line. They needed that. They needed a three-point shooter. I know they're going to miss Derrick Jones, but I think Klay can give them what they need. Tim Hardaway Jr. had to go. You know, I do like Dallas a lot. I think Memphis is going to be on a major steamroll up the ranks this year because they're going to be healthy. They're going to get Ja back. I think you'll have a motivated Ja. I think Marcus Smart will be better in year two. I love Zach Edey at the center position because I think he protects Triple J. Brandon Clark comes back after his injuries. I love Zaire Williams off the bench. Desmond Bane is obviously a big-time scorer. You know, Jake Aravia, I just like this team. But I'm going to take New Orleans at 3-1. Why? I have been a huge, huge fan of DeJounte Murray for a long time. And I didn't think it was going to work with him and Trey. So to get him on his own, allow C.J. McCollum to go to the off-ball as a two, where, yes, he can play point guard, but he excels better as a two guard because he doesn't have the setup teammates, and he doesn't have the quick twitch to create off the bounce for other players. But he's cerebral, he's smart, he shoots the ball well from three. Zion, if healthy, is an absolute beast. I can't tell you how much I love Herb Jones and Trey Murphy III. I think Trey Murphy III is one of the most underrated players in the NBA, and he's always a click away, a tick away from exploding. If I am the GM of New Orleans, I'm trading Brandon Ingram. And I've said it all the time on this network. Trade Brandon Ingram, send him to Cleveland, and go get Jared Allen. Put Missy off on the bench, slide either Trey Murphy III or Herb Jones into the starting lineup, and you are cooking with gas. I think this team's going to be there's always a team that makes the jump, right? Like they just, like, not come out of nowhere, but they just take a big jump from a year. I thought this was going to be a year that was going to be for New Orleans. Last year, I should say. I think this is the year because I love what they did with DeJounte Murray. I will say this. Folks, I am a huge believer in Houston. I'm not going to bet him at 10-1 to win this division, but they're going to be over 500 this year. Because you know why? They're going to be better this year from the start. Şengün got hurt. It hurt the team. They kept Jalen Green. Reed Chipper coming off the bench. Amen Thompson. Tari Eason always seems to get injured. And don't sneak up on Steven Adams as a backup. Love this guy. I think you have then moved at times Şengün to the four. There's your tough-minded rebounder. Cam Whitmore can flat-out score. Jeff Green is a seasoned veteran. Dylan Brooks can't stand him, but he does things that can help you win games. I'm betting New Orleans at 3-1 to win this division. But I'm telling you this right now. If they hang Houston's win total at less than the number of wins they had this past year, take the over. They're going to be much better. Honestly, same thing with the Spurs. Let's move on to the MVP odds where Nikola Jokic is plus 380 tied with Luka Doncic. SGA 5.5-1 along with Giannis and Embiid. And then a big drop off to 15-1 for Ant and Tatum, 20-1 for Brunson, 50-1 for Steph and Wemby. My pick is SGA at plus 550. Simply put, I've already talked about how great I think this team's going to be. I think this guy can score at all three levels. I think he's a great defender. I think he keeps his mouth shut. And I think this team will be the best team in the Western Conference. Simply put, I don't have to say anything else. SGA is going to win the MVP at plus 550. But take a flyer at Wemby at 50-1. Also, if they hang DPOY awards, if it's anywhere near like minus 140 or better, take Wemby to win Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to win it for like 10 straight years. He's going to win it every year. And think about the fact that if Pop plays in 35 minutes and this team gets near 500, Wembanyama could be an MVP candidate this year, and we will call Victor Wembanyama one of the 10 best players in the world by the end of the 24-25 season. Let's go on to Rookie of the Year, where there has been movement. Okay? Sarr, 5-1. Richarlison, 7-1 with Castle. Reed Shepard, 8.5-1. Connect, 10-1. Edie, 10-1. Bezalis, 12-1. Ron Holland, 12-1. Don McClingan, 20-1. And then my pick to be Rookie of the Year, Rob Dillingham. And just so people understand this, I'm going to give you guys updated odds right now really quick. Because some of these odds are a little bit off because of the movement led the last 24, 36 hours as we were prepping for the show. Sarr is plus 6.5 to 1. Richarlison, 7.5-1. Edie, 7.5-1. Shepard, 8.5-1 with Connect. Bezalis and Castle are 10-1. Dillingham and Holland are 15-1. Klingon, 20-1 with Cody Williams. That doesn't change what I'm going to do. It's still a value play. So you already moved $5. I'm taking Rob Dillingham at 15-1 to win Rookie of the Year. Out of those guys, Sarr, Richarlison, Castle, Shepard, Connect, Edie, Bazalas, Holland, Dillingham, Klingon. How many of them do you think are going to score possibly 15 points a game this season? Dillingham. And probably Edie. So there's value here. I don't think Sarr is going to get the minutes now because we now have Valanciunas. Ricochet, I think he's going to take a little bit of time. Castle, how many minutes does he play now that Chris Paul's there? Shepard, he may not start. Connect, will he get enough touches? Edie, love it, love it. Bazelis, no, he's not going to score enough. Ron Holland, how much does he play? Rob Dillingham, coming off the bench with that second unit of him, Terrence Shannon Jr., and Nasty Nas Reed, they just picked up Joe Ingles. He's going to have to carry part of that second unit scoring. And Mike Conley gets hurt every year. And if Rob goes to the starting lineup, you go play him with Ant. Good luck guarding those two in the backcourt. So as a value play, it's now 15-1. Rob Dillingham to be my rookie of the year. On to the odds to win the East. Celtics are the favorite. Sixers are 4-1. Knicks are 4.5. Milwaukee 6.5. Then a big drop off to 20-1 for Orlando, Miami, Cleveland. 30-1 for Indiana. They're being grossly disrespected. And then obviously then it's a big jump to Atlanta and Chicago. My pick is the Celtics at plus 145. I don't need to go into detail. Simply put, they're the defending champions. They're the best starting lineup. They have the most step. They have the best offense. They have the best defense. Thank you. Drive home safely. They're going to win the East. The West, more jumbled. Oklahoma City, plus 375. Denver, plus 380. Minnesota, 4.5. Dallas, 5-1. Then you have a big drop off of Phoenix, 14-1. Lakers, 18-1 with the Warriors and the Grizz. And then 20-1 for New Orleans and the Clippers. I just told you before why I liked OKC. They had two deficiencies. One was rebounding. One was another perimeter defender. They got the best, one of the best rebounding bigs that could play in a system and also pass the ball from the high post and Isaiah Hartenstein. By the way, folks, when he played with the Clippers, he shot the ball from three. Tips didn't let him shoot it from three. He could actually shoot it a little bit. Be on the lookout that that could be out there for Hartenstein when he plays with Oklahoma City. And then you go get Alex Caruso, a 40% shooter from three last year, a bulldog and defender, and a team locker room and a glue guy. It's close. It's really close. But at some time, a team breaks through, and I think it's this year. So Oklahoma City is my pick at plus 375 to win the West. So now you line up the NBA championship, and I have to go chalk. Boston Celtics 3-1 because they're young, and they're going to take their time with Porzingis. Barring an injury to one of their main two of Tatum or Brown, they stay healthy. They shoot the ball well. They play together. They play great defense. There's chemistry. And as much as I hate to say it as a Knicks fan, I think banner number 19 will be raised at the TD Bank Garden after the 24-25 season. So really quick, I'll go through this again. In the Atlantic Division, Boston. In the Central Division, Milwaukee. In the Southeast Division, Orlando. In the Northwest Division, Oklahoma City. In the Pacific Division, value play, Kings 5-1. And in the last division, Southwest, I'm going to go with the Pelicans at 3-1. Rookie of the Year, Rob Dillingham, 15-1. MVP, SGA, 5.5-1. Celtics win the East. OKC wins the West. Celtics win the NBA title. This has been your Betting Above the Rim podcast, episode 66. For all things sports gambling, please go download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best of the sports gambling industry. Next podcast will be shot on Monday for my producer, Matty George, video with the graphics. Happy 4th of July. Be safe, folks. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Good night.